Hi everyone, we are continuing through 2 Corinthians, and today we'll look at 2 Corinthians 6:14, and we'll go into chapter 7, verse 1. Do not be unequally yoked with unbelievers, for what partnership has righteousness with lawlessness, or what fellowship has light with darkness? What accord has Christ with Belial? Or what portion does a believer share with an unbeliever? What agreement has the temple of God with idols? For we are the temple of the living God. As God said, I will make my dwelling among them and walk among them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Therefore, go out from their midst and be separate from them, says the Lord, and touch no unclean thing. Then I will welcome you, and I will be a father to you, and you shall be sons and daughters to me, says the Lord Almighty. Since we have these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from every defilement of body and spirit, bringing holiness to completion in the fear of God. So this passage is a digression. As far as I can tell, this passage has nothing to do with the passage that came before it. And Paul may be here just kind of getting at some of the stuff that he had said to them or hinted at earlier in the letter. But also, the way this passage goes, it's, if you're familiar with 1 Corinthians, it kind of goes along with some of what is said there as well. Now, the main idea of this passage, this whole passage, is very super clear. And it starts with verse 14, where he says, do not be unequally yoked with unbelievers. Now, this word unequally yoked, in the original language, it's exactly what it is, unequally yoked. It's an agricultural term, right? People would put a yoke, like this wooden beam, if you will, on ox or oxen to like till the soil and, you know, do other stuff on their farmlands. But you wouldn't pair an ox with like a dog, right? That would make no sense, right? Because it'd be like it wouldn't be effective, right? These two different animals would pull in different strengths and different ways. They'd be going in different directions. And this idea is helpful for us to understand, because what Paul is getting at here is that we shouldn't be unequally yoked with unbelievers, because we'd be going in different directions. Now, we'll get to more of the practical implications of this later, but hopefully that makes sense here, right? You wouldn't pair an ox with like a donkey, say. That's a little more, makes more sense than a dog, right? Because they wouldn't work together well, because they're not going in the right direction together. And if they're going in different directions, nothing will get done, right? The work would be, they'd be led astray from the work they're actually going to do. And Paul makes this point very clear as he talks about being yoked with unbelievers. He makes this clear with the contrast that he shares right after this command. He says, what partnership has righteousness with lawlessness, or light and darkness, Christ and Belial? It's a unique word, but it's Satan, like Christ and Satan. Like those things, these combinations don't make any sense, right? You wouldn't put those things together. And so then in the same way, he says in verse 15, what portion does a believer share with an unbeliever? What agreement has the temple of God with idols, right? It doesn't make sense for a believer to be yoked to be an unbeliever, because it's like having the temple of God be in agreement with idols, right? That's just, they're just diametrically opposed to one another. And that's because, and that's important, because we are the temple of God. We are this temple. And this gets to this lengthy quotation from verses 16 through 18, where God says where Paul is saying that, you know, God will make his dwelling among us, that we need to be separate, and that God will be our Father. And what's interesting about this passage is, this long quotation, is that it's not actually just one Old Testament passage, it's actually six different passages stitched together. I found this fascinating. There's no special point because of that, but it's kind of interesting that it's all those passages together. But if you read this passage, it's, again, Paul's making the same point, right? God's going to make his dwelling among us. God is our Father. And verse 17, therefore, be separate from people who are not part of God's dwelling, people who are not, like, with God, right? Where people who are do not have God as their Father, be separate from them. And then that's where we get to chapter 7, verse 1, where this is the conclusion. Since we have these promises, let's cleanse ourselves from defilement. Let's be holy, right? And the way that he's saying this is like, let's be holy by not yoking ourselves to unbelievers. Now, what do we do with this? Now, in my experience, this passage has mostly been used to talk about like not dating or marrying non-Christians. And I think that's actually an important takeaway, because this illustration of yoking, as it goes, it's, you know, being tied to someone who is not following Jesus. He or she is going in a direction that's not towards Jesus. And if a believer is yoked to someone like that, they're headed in different directions. And so there's a danger then for the believer being led astray, or at the very least, the believer in that situation is in for a world of stress and hurt and pain as they struggle to keep going towards Jesus. But I think the more like general takeaway for us is to think about who guides our direction, right? Who influences our decision-making? Who guides what direction we will go in life and relationships and love and career, family, all those kind of things. Like, whoever is influencing us in our directions, are those influences pointing us to Jesus or to something else? And even if those influences are friends or family members, and even if those family friends and family members are Christian, a good important question is, is that community we have leading us towards Jesus? See, I think this passage for us, it points to the importance of being in a community where there are people who are sold out on going towards Jesus. And just like Paul and his companions were in yesterday's passage, as people who are, you know, like Paul's companions, they were people willing to suffer for the sake of Jesus. They're filled with the Holy Spirit for the sake of God's kingdom, like striving to serve and to do the work of God. That's the kind of community we need. Those are the people that we need in our lives to point us to Jesus. Those are the kind of people that we should be yoked with. Now, this does not mean, of course, that we don't have relationships with non-believers. That would be like contradictory to what Paul just told us in chapter 5, where we're supposed to be ambassadors of Christ. We keep on ministering and witnessing to those who don't know Jesus yet. That's like super clear. But we don't allow people who don't know Jesus to dictate how we live or who we live for, especially in the choices that we make, in the direction that we're going in. So as we pray for ourselves today, as we close this out, let's pray for ourselves. Let's pray that we ourselves be going towards Jesus. And let's pray for those who are near us, our friends, people within our church. Let's pray that we'll be encouraged and that we'll be mutually encouraging one another to keep on going in the direction of Jesus. Let me pray for us. Lord, we pray for ourselves. We pray for our church that we will be a body that points one another to you. They will keep on pointing one another to going towards you and to your direction and to your love, God. And help us, God, to make choices based on the influences of your Spirit, of your church. And as we do that together as a community, God, I pray that we will experience all the more that we are as your temple, your dwelling place. May you be our God, and may we be your people. May we see that you're our Father as we're your sons and daughters, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for this love. In your name we pray. Amen.